Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That's a beautiful reminder from the Lanny Wolf Trio. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. And on the program today, I will play the remaining part of a sermon I preached in a camp meeting setting a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was 1994 that I preached this sermon at a camp meeting in the state of Michigan on the soul. And I hope that it will touch your heart, that it would minister, that it would challenge. Thank you so much for listening today to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. We begin Holy Week on this weekend as we look forward to Good Friday, when we look at the cross again and then remember that he was placed in a grave, and then on the third day he came forth out of the grave. So we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you provided for us at Calvary. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior today. I pray your blessing upon the listening audience. I pray that you would minister to those who have specific needs physically, emotionally, spiritually. Would you touch them today, I pray. Continue to bless this program and raise up supporters for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, as you have always done across these 87 years. We are grateful. I ask and pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I would covet your prayers as I am taking this Palm Sunday off, and I'll be at home with my wife as we go and we worship together at our church here in Columbus, Indiana on April the 13th. But then beginning April the 16th through April the 20th, I'll be in Elizabethton, Tennessee at the First Church of the Nazarene and celebrate the Resurrection Sunday on the 20th there at that church. And then April 25 to 27, I will travel to Mercer, Pennsylvania to Wayside Community Church for a weekend revival there. So please pray for me for safe travel, for fresh anointing. It will mean so very, very much. And also let me emphasize that we are a faith-based, listener-supported radio program, and we need your help if we're to stay on your radio station. So would you take just a few minutes to write us a letter? You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. It would mean so much if you would help finance the program on this station. May God bless you as you listen to the remaining part of this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
The next fact I'd like for you to consider about the soul is that the soul, praise God, is redeemable. It is redeemable. But understand this tonight, dear friend, although the soul of man is redeemable, neither you nor I can redeem the soul. But let's just speculate for a moment, and let's just say that I can redeem my soul by suffering. If you could redeem your soul by suffering, the redemption of your soul is so important, such a vital aspect that needs to be considered. The soul of man is so valuable and needs to be redeemed so much. If you could redeem it by suffering, it would pay you to suffer every malady known to the medical profession today. It would pay you to live in excruciating pain 24 hours a day for as long as you live. If by suffering you could redeem your soul, it would pay us to be willing to take all kinds of pain pills and endure all kinds of suffering and go through all kinds of treatment just to suffer so that we could redeem our soul. You see, the redemption of your soul is that imperative. If you could redeem your soul by traveling, the redemption of your soul is so important, it would pay you to travel for the rest of your life, to go to every known point on this globe of ours. If you could redeem your soul by traveling, it would pay you to travel by every mode of transportation, to every location, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. If by traveling, you could redeem your soul, if you could redeem your soul by working, it would pay you. The redemption of your soul is so important, it would pay you to work every waking hour of every day, to work 3 and 4 jobs, to spend hour upon hour working. If by working you could redeem your soul, if by reading you could redeem your soul, the redemption of your soul is so important, it would pay you to go to every library across this great land of ours and spend hour after hour reading every novel, every nonfiction book you could get your hands on, so that you could redeem your soul. But friend, you cannot redeem your soul by suffering. You can't redeem your soul by traveling. You can't redeem your soul by reading, nor can you redeem your soul by working. Only Christ can redeem your soul, and your soul is only redeemed through the application of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Back in the eons of eternity, God planned that His Son, as we alluded to earlier in the sermon, God planned that His Son would redeem the soul. Before everything that is was, Jesus planned that your soul would be redeemed, not with corruptible, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The soul is vast. It's valuable. It's immortal. It's redeemable. But last of all, the soul of man is vulnerable. You see, you can lose your soul. And once it's lost forever. Once it's lost, it cannot be regained. Many of you are a testimony to what I'm about to share. You can lose your health, and through proper medication and medical attention, you can regain your health. You can lose control of your nerves, Brother Jetty, but through proper rest and prayer and the touch of God, you can regain control of your nerves and your emotions and become stable once again. You can lose your job, but through hard work and discipline, you can find another. But friend, once you lose your soul, it's lost forever. So you see, you must understand that your soul is vulnerable. The condition of your soul, therefore, is not to be taken lightly. My life is and has and will be forever influenced by my Father. And you don't hear too many stories like this from behind the pulpit anymore. But as I sat as a lad and as a teenager and listened to my dad preach year after year at camp meetings and in revival meetings, some of the stories that my dad told that happened to him personally have made an indelible impression upon my mind, and I've never been able to get away from them. And this is a story I heard my dad tell time and time again, and every time I heard it, it almost made my blood run cold. And I share it with you tonight just to emphasize the seriousness of the redemption of your soul. My dad was holding a revival meeting just outside of Greensboro, North Carolina, many years ago. At that time, it was called the Brown's Chapel Pilgrim Holiness Church. Now it's the Brown's Chapel Wesleyan Church. And Dad said that the revival meeting was going well, and they were having many people come to the altar. And then on the final night of that revival meeting, a Sunday night, my dad said that he preached and God really blessed him. And in those days, and I can remember this, in those days when my dad would preach and give an invitation, I would see my dad, if he felt led of the Holy Spirit, to come. I would see him come down off of the platform and make his way down the aisle. My dad would do what many evangelists do. He would ask people if they had a need to raise their hands before he would get involved in that invitation. And he had done that. And many times he would go down the aisle and he would just walk up to the people that had raised their hands if they did not make a move to the altar immediately. And he'd say, "Wouldn't you like to come to the altar?" And most of the time, those people would come to the altar and find victory. And this particular night, my dad said that he had given the invitation after the sermon was preached. And as he was walking down the aisle, he felt led to speak to a couple of people who had raised their hand for prayer. And all he had to do was just kind of touch them on the shoulder and say, "Wouldn't you like to come?" And they responded. And my dad said he was about to turn and come back to the platform when the Holy Spirit checked him and said, "There's a young man on the back row sitting on the aisle. I want you to speak to him about coming to the altar." And my dad said that he went down the aisle and got to the last pew at that church, and there stood a fine-looking young man, and he was just kind of standing there with his head bowed, but his eyes were not closed. And my dad said, "I walked up to that young man and said, 'Son, I don't often do this. You didn't raise your hand, but I feel impressed of the Spirit to speak to you. Wouldn't you like to come and give your heart to Jesus?'" And that young man said, "No, sir, not tonight." And my dad said, "Well, son, it's really important that you consider this. God wouldn't have spoken to me about speaking to you if he hadn't been already dealing with you. You ought to come." "No, sir, I'm not going to come. And nothing you can say will make me come." And my dad turned around and walked back up that aisle and got to the platform, and in more than gotten back to the platform until the Holy Spirit spoke to my dad, and he said, "You go back and tell that young man this will be his last chance." And my dad said he stood there as cold chills ran up and down his spine, because he thought maybe it was just the emotion of the moment. Certainly God wasn't telling him to deliver a message like that to a young man seated on the back row of that sanctuary. He didn't want to do that. It seemed somewhat sensational. And Dad said he just came back to the pulpit area and continued with the invitation of the Holy Spirit. "You go back there and tell that young man this is his last opportunity to get saved." And my dad said he stepped away from that pulpit and walked down off of that platform and started down the aisle. And Dad said he was praying the entire way, gripping every pew, saying, "Lord, please, I want to be sure about this. I don't want to do something in my own flesh. I don't want to do something in the emotion of the moment. Oh, God, please reveal to me that this is really what you want me to do." And my dad said every step he took toward that young man, he grew more and more confident that God was dealing with him about speaking to that young man, about coming to the altar, that this was that young man's last opportunity. My daddy said he got back to that young man, and he said, "Son, this has never happened before, and I pray that it never happens again." My dad said, "Son, God has told me to tell you that this is the last chance you'll ever have to get right with God." That young man looked at my father and said, "You think you're smart, don't you? You think you can scare me to come into that altar, don't you?" And my dad said, "No, son. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. I didn't want to deliver this message to you, but God had me deliver this message to you. Well, I'm not coming. And nothing you can say will make me go to that altar, the young man said to my dad. My dad sadly turned away. Made his way back to the platform. They gave the invitation for others to come and pray with those who had come to the altar. And they had a wonderful time around the altar, a wonderful time of victory. And Dad closed that revival meeting that night. And the following week, he went on to another town, another church within commuting distance of home, and started another revival meeting. And in those days, my dad worked part-time at a funeral home in Greensboro, North Carolina. And on Saturday night, the following Saturday night, after he closed that revival meeting on Sunday night, Dad said he stopped by the funeral home where he did part-time work, and he went in to get some clothes that he'd left there, and the ambulance had just gotten back in from running a call, and that was in the days when the funeral homes ran the ambulance service. And Dad said he didn't take time to see what was going on, or it was on a Friday night rather, and Dad said he wanted to get back home to be with the family, and so he came on back home. And the next day, Dad was mowing the yard, and it was a Saturday, and Mom came out and said, Harold, they've called from the funeral home, they need for you to come. And my dad said he went in and got cleaned up and got in the car and drove to the funeral home. And when he got there, they were preparing to pull out with the family car and with the hearse. The body was in the hearse. And Dad said he didn't take time to ask who it was and where they were going. The funeral director said, Harold, you drive the hearse and just follow the family car. We're going out here out in the country off of Highway 29. And my dad said that he followed that family car out of that parking lot of that funeral home, made their way out to Highway 29 north out of Greensboro, North Carolina, went out to High Cone Road, turned right on High Cone Road, out toward Brown's Chapel Pilgrim Holiness Church. And my dad said we drove right past that church. He said, I saw that church and reflected back over the past week and what had happened the previous Sunday night. And Dad said we turned down a little dirt road and finally into a little dirt driveway and pulled up in front of a country home with a great big front porch on it. And out on the front porch, there was a woman standing there. And he said she had a handkerchief in hand and she had it up to her face and was dabbing tears away from her cheeks. And Dad said, when I stepped out of that hearse, that woman let out a blood-curdling yell and said, Brother Loman, that's my boy you've got in that hearse. And my dad walked up to her and said, what are you talking about? She said, you remember last Sunday night, Brown's Chapel Wesleyan Church? You talked to a young man seated on the back row, and you related to him that for him this would be his last opportunity to get right with God? She said, that was my boy. Last night, he had a horrible automobile accident and he never regained consciousness. She said, Brother Loman, my boy is lost. He's lost. He's lost. The soul is vulnerable. Once you lose your soul, it's lost forever. I am not here to manipulate you. I'm here to charge you with this message. Your soul is vast. The only thing that will satisfy its appetite completely is Jesus Christ. Amen. The soul is valuable. You could gain the whole world. But if you lose your soul, what have you gained? The soul is redeemable. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. The soul is vulnerable.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria, And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.